Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I want to continue with St. Peter, the first letter of St. Peter that I talked a bit about last week, trying to lay hold of and lean into the amazing vision that St. Peter had, tremendous example of living with a renewed mind. I mean, one of the things, friends, that we most need in these days is clarity about who God is, clarity about who we are, having a renewed mind, a fresh spiritual way of thinking about reality, especially in the midst of dark and difficult times. The more confused, the more screwed up, the more derailed the culture becomes, the more divided, the more we need the clarity and a solid foundation. There's a shaking that's going on in the world, a deep shaking, and many things that human beings have been leaning on, holding on to for stability are being profoundly shaken or even broken. The Lord wants us to stand on the rock, wants to stand on Him. He wants to help us, like very much help us to live out the call that He's given to each and every one of us. All the commandments, the high call that He's given to us, that we all know, the commandments themselves, the capacity to live in radical love, to abide in Him, to then bear fruit, to have our lives actually changing. And it doesn't matter. The great thing is it doesn't matter what kind of circumstances we're facing at any particular time in history. Whether, as St. Paul said, I've learned how to be abased and I've learned how to abound. He goes, I know the secret of contentment. To Him who is the source of my strength, I have strength for everything. This is something that the Lord wants us to be able to lay hold of. And I think this past year and making our way through the upheaval in the political world, the pressure and the fear-inducing reality of the COVID pandemic and all that that had produced in folks is, I think many of us came to terms with fear, you know, the fear of death and, you know, deep emotional struggles. All kinds of things happen for people during this period of time. And it causes us to say, because we don't have the props that have been set up that normally would support us. We didn't have the distractions and the support structures and the whole range of things that normally help sustain us in difficult times. A lot of that went away. And so we had to face our own struggles, our own weaknesses. The fact of being out of control, that we don't control our lives. We don't control the world. We don't control tomorrow. That created in people so much anxiety, so much fear, a depression, confusion. And what the Lord wants us to be able to do is to find that source of strength that Paul's talking about. And one of the places to find it for sure is in reading the Word of God and washing our minds in the Word of God. Because, you know, we're still in it, but our culture has really doubled down and gotten deeper and deeper into not only being divided, but a constant attacking and the fear of being canceled and broken relationships and so much mistrust and things of that nature. And it's easy to get caught up into that whirlwind and find ourselves thinking and acting in the same kind of way instead of living that radically different life that the Lord wants to bring us into. The radically different life that conforms to Him, to be His disciples, to understand that, look, I'm dead to the world. I'm not surprised that the world acts worldly. I know where my strength comes from. I know where my identity lies. And now I need to lean into the Lord and to trust that the gift of the Holy Spirit that He's given to me in baptism and that's alive in me. That's why St. Paul, you know, said in Corinthians at one point, do you not know that you're a temple of the Holy Spirit? He said, test your faith. Where's your faith? Are you trusting? Is your faith lifting you? This is what faith does. Faith, of course, is one of the three great theological virtues that we've been given by God, faith, hope, and love. Faith is the first. It's the gift to believe who Jesus is, to believe who God is, to believe what God has revealed, and the truth that Jesus has communicated to us and the church has passed on to us in these 2,000 years and continues to do so. And it also means a radical abandonment of our lives and trust to God. The readings in the church this week at some of the masses are talking in, you know, the book of Genesis. Stories in there about Abraham and Abraham's journey, the nomad of faith, the first who encountered the Lord in the vivid way in which he did. And the Lord called him at a time, a most unlikely time to be called because of his age. He called him away from everything that he had built, his entire enterprise, his financial security. He was a very successful man. He had a big clan and a big tribe, and he had all kinds of possessions and things. And he encountered God, the holy God. And God called him, and he said he would make him a father of a great nation. And he would have children as, you know, would number as the stars of the sky and the sands of the sea. And that he would be literally a father, and he would have children. Here, his wife is barren. They have no children. He's too old for that kind of stuff. Anyway, and God calls him. God calls him to the impossible, and he says yes to him. And the scriptures just says beautiful things about Abraham, that God was not afraid to call Abraham his friend. He hoped against hope. When looking at the promises of the Father, yeah, Jesus was there as well. The whole second person of the Trinity was there speaking at that moment to Abraham, and he was hoping against hope because God was calling him, giving him promises that looked completely ridiculous, that looked impossible. But he exercised faith, and he trusted God, and he believed that in this God all things are possible, even to the point of offering up his son Isaac on the altar, which made no sense. Isaac was the son of the promise. He was the chosen one, the son that he and Sarah had together. And God calls him to sacrifice his son. And Abraham was confounded, but he didn't trust his feelings, didn't trust his emotions. Ultimately, he trusted God's command. He knew that God was God, that he's not. He was about to do what looked absolutely ridiculous. Why? Why? All this time we've waited, and the promise is here, and Isaac is here, and this nation is going to begin to grow, and the promises of God are happening. And then the Lord's saying, put a knife through the promise. And he was obedient. He was ready. But God intervened, and God was pleased with Abraham's surrender, this nomad of faith who trusted God. And he expressed that trust through obedience. Thanks be to God for the model of Abraham. We got to internalize some of that. So he already was walking in faith, and he was counted as righteous because of the faith that he communicated, that entrusting of his life to God in what looked like an impossible and a really confusing situation. St. Peter, the apostles, follow in the footsteps of Abraham. And we too, you know, the Eucharistic prayer, one of the Eucharistic prayers at one point described Abraham as our father in faith. We've inherited, you know, he said yes to God. And that yes, his yes, rolled all the way down to Our Lady's yes, to that ultimate pinnacle of a yes that brought about a participation with the human race, not only in God's plan, but in such a profound and elevated, extraordinary way when she said yes to God, when the angel came. Gabriel announced to her, you shall conceive and give birth to a child. Her yes in cooperation with God. She was guided by the Holy Spirit, the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. And so Paul says to us, he said, test your faith. Do you not know that you're a temple of the Holy Spirit? In you is a strength, a power, a person that is giving you the grace, giving you the power to day by day, step by step, come into God's purpose and plan for your life. You are now born again. You are a child of God. John the Apostle said in that first chapter, he gave us power to become children of God. The Holy Spirit helps bring faith conviction that that's who we are. And as I said yesterday, we receive our identity there, and it becomes secure. And we entrust ourselves, no matter what circumstances we come up against, to God, and God begins to work in us, and he goes deeper and deeper and deeper in conforming us to the person of his beloved Son. In the process, he renews our mind. He gives us a fresh spiritual way of thinking. And one of the things that Scripture is so helpful with, we see in the apostles how much their minds are renewed, and they speak to us, they teach us, they wrote this down so that we could see and understand what they see and understood. And you can see what God gave them, and we're meant to be able to say, Lord, what you gave them, give to us. Help us see what they see. Help us feel what they feel, because they're encountering and living with Jesus at a profound level. So the first chapter here of the first letter of Peter, talked a little bit about it last week in the call to holy living, which is a call out of the world. And in verse 18, we kind of ended around there. He said, you know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your fathers, not with perishable things of silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You were ransomed. You were bought out. You were purchased to come out of the life of empty futility, that is a life that's disconnected from God or resists God or is trapped in sin. And as St. Paul said, that puts us in the condition we're living without hope in the world. I can't help when I read that. The futile ways inherited from your fathers. You know, there was a time when so much of the Western world was Christian, not perfect, but Christian. Commandments of God, the things of God, the reality of God shaped the way people thought of the world and how we lived. We were reminded, Peter said, don't fall back into a pagan pattern of living or a life without God and the empty futility of a wisdom that's not true light, that can't accomplish what's most needed for the human race to reach its ultimate destiny. But looks like in many ways, wide circles of society are gladly embracing feudal ways. They may not be inherited from their fathers, but they're laying claim to them at this point. And they're forgetting their need for redemption to be bought out of the condition of slavery and separation from God. Verse 20, he, that is Christ, was destined before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest at the end of time for your sake. Again, what is Peter saying? That this plan of God to bring about the redemption of the human race, the coming of the Son of God, bringing heaven and earth together in the person of Jesus, giving us an eternal destiny that we would receive from him as he passes from death to life. He said it's been God's plan and mystery has been manifested here at the end of time, he calls it. He said through him, that is through Christ, you have confidence in God who raised him from the dead and gave him glory so that your faith and your hope are in God. There's a lot in that one sentence. This is verse 21 of chapter 1 of 1 Peter. I'd recommend you take a look at it and just chew on that. Through him you have confidence. Are you living with the confidence that comes from standing on the foundation of faith that God gives us? So many people, sometimes I think the way people scream and yell and pound their chests about how right they are and they constantly are pushing for revolution and the rest of it is say, I think thou dost protest too much that you're so certain about what you're thinking and that you're so certain of your goodness and you're so certain of the evil of people who disagree with you. That's not what confidence looks like. We've been given confidence, a foundation in faith. And he said, why? In a person, in Jesus, because God raised him from the dead, God gave him glory, and by the grace of the Holy Spirit, we're able to see and taste of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ and find in him our own future. It produces trust and hope. God bless you, friends. Hope you can tune in tomorrow.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.